Good morning. Open in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 30. Before we read, I have to say that providence is an absolutely amazing thing. I try to make it known every time it happens, every time I see it. In some ways, I make a deliberate attempt not to prepare certain things. Not talking about the sermon. Talking about certain kinds of coordination. I generally don't coordinate my sermons with the song leading or with the Lord's Supper message or any of that, because I find that it's one way to let providence play out in some interesting and fruitful ways. And I don't think that Solomon knew that this was the text that we were coming to in Mark chapter 6, but he made the connection in his Lord's Supper message from John 6 to what we've been studying in the book of Ruth, where we are going to see some big gospel payoff in the book of Ruth as we study Boaz. And that is connected to Jesus' discourse about being the bread of life, which stems from his feeding of the 5,000, which is what we are going to read this morning from the Gospel of Mark. So join with me as we read Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When they went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let us pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you have given us about your Son, Jesus, and the mighty works that he has performed among men. We thank you for the message of faith that you have given us in this good news. We pray, Father, that you bring it to our understanding and that you convict us in our hearts, Father, to live according to this faith. Father, we are struck as we see the compassion that Jesus had for the multitude. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. We've been reminded of Boaz's compassion, how his heart likewise went out to one who was wandering and astray and had no protector. And Father, as we consider that we call ourselves after Christ's name, who was descended from Boaz, we pray, righteous Father, that you give us the same compassionate heart whenever we see those who are wandering astray, sheep without a shepherd. Help us, Father, to show compassion as our Lord showed compassion, as he has shown compassion even to us, Father. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Our text this morning opens with Jesus and his disciples seeking rest. It's another point of intersection with the Lord's Supper message, by the way. This is not a bad thing for them to do. They're so hard pressed by the comings and goings of the people that they had no leisure even to eat. And the problem is bad enough that even our Lord commands, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Right? Seeking physical food, seeking physical rest. Those are good things. The Lord has in other places recognized the need for rest in his ministry. You might remember back in Mark chapter 1, Jesus disappears on his apostles for a little bit. He goes out to a desolate place to pray. And his disciples have to search around for him, and they finally find him and say, look, everybody's looking for you. But Jesus took that time to go out to desert places and to pray to his Father. And here he has his apostles, his disciples, go out into a desert place, a wilderness. The people are clamoring to be with Jesus. There's many of them coming and going. They're so eager to see Jesus that they watch him and his disciples get on the boat, and they see what direction the boat is taking, and they run along the coast tracking this boat. They're so eager that they actually get to where Jesus is going before the boat does. They are so eager to be in the presence of the Son of God. Now, I don't know about you. If I was looking to get away from a gigantic crowd, and I had herded all of my disciples onto a boat and gone through the trouble of sailing this boat along to try to find some place to just sit down and have enough room to eat, that's all they're looking for. Is just a little space, a little breath, a little time to eat. If I was doing that, and I show up at this desert spot where I expect to be alone, be able to sit down and take a meal, and I find, lo and behold, the gigantic crowd has shown up there too, like a bad penny. I don't know about you, I'd probably be getting kind of upset and frustrated. Possibly even a little hangry. What is Jesus' reaction to the multitude? He has compassion on them. Right? He's been seeking rest. He's been seeking an opportunity even just to eat, and the people will not give it to him. But Jesus doesn't respond in anger or in frustration. He responds with compassion. His heart goes out to them because he sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless, they're directionless, they have no protection. These are the essential things that a shepherd gives to his sheep. They don't have it. They are out for the wolves to prey upon. We can learn from our Lord's compassion. In today's reading, rest and eating are important. Taking care of our physical needs is important. It was important, again, even for our Lord. The Son of God felt it necessary to take care of physical needs. But the needs of the shepherd come after the needs of his sheep. And so Jesus puts the sheep first. His concerns at this point are on the back burner. We don't hear about them again in this reading. What comes to the fore is the multitude's need. He shows them compassion, and his compassion starts with teaching. The account of this miracle shows us that we need to be careful about how we characterize our mission as Christians today. There are some out in the world who emphasize material provision, providing food, water, and clothing and shelter to the poor at the expense of teaching. Right, we're going to do this, and then the teaching kind of neither here nor there, not even in the picture. Jesus does not do this. The first act of his compassion was to begin teaching them. Jesus came with a message, a plan, a set of directions. Again, this all dovetails with what Solomon was just saying at the Lord's table. Belief and obedience are essential components of this plan. A significant part of our own walk along the way is trying to understand Christ's teaching and to live it out in our daily lives. And a message or mission that does not include that is not the gospel. It has to include the teaching. It includes doctrine. It includes a standard of faith, a standard of living. Otherwise, it's not gospel. But we must also be careful not to drive into the other ditch. To be so laser focused on doctrine alone, so eager to avoid any semblance of social gospel, that we refuse to provide for material needs. Our Lord begins with teaching and finishes with feeding. Now, this isn't the place to get into the specifics of how we are to accomplish that in this day and age as the church. Right, Mark 6 is not about the institutional debates. It's not about debates about kitchens, whether the church can provide charity to non-believers, any of the debates that we have about charity and the use of funds. But as a matter of principle, we must reject any system that tells Christians either to ignore doctrine or to ignore charity. It is not an either or. In Christ, it is a both and. Today's text proclaims the gospel message of rest. Rest is the overarching theme of today's text. Jesus and the disciples are seeking an opportunity for rest, an opportunity to eat. And when confronted with the great multitude, he gives them rest. He gives them something to eat. Not just food, of course. They get to listen to the word of God, and then they get to sit down and eat. He gives them rest because the Father sent his Son to fulfill his promise of rest. God has been promising this to his people from the very beginning. In the days of Moses, when Israel was in the wilderness, God fed them miraculously and promised to bring them into his rest. When they were out in desert places and had nothing to eat. In the days of Elisha the prophet, God accomplished a work that is very similar to what we read about here in the Gospels. In fact, I'll read briefly from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, "Give it to the men that they may eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" So he repeated, "Give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. All right, this is a messianic promise that's laid down in the history of Israel. And now one who is greater than Moses has come, one who is greater than Elisha has come to give bread that doesn't perish but leads to eternal life, to give bread that... And notice some of the numbers that get mentioned here. We've got Elisha has 20 barley loaves to feed 100 men. And it is a miracle. It's a work of God. Jesus takes 5 and feeds 5,000. Because he is greater than Elisha. Remember that Moses and the prophets were also concerned when they saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. Right? Moses is concerned about his own departure, that the people of Israel will be left as sheep without a shepherd. The prophet Ezekiel is concerned that Israel in his day is like sheep without a shepherd, or even worse, shepherds who feed themselves rather than feeding the flock. God and his servants have always been concerned with giving God's people rest and shepherding leadership. But as the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, Israel rebelled and did not receive God's rest. The Son of God came to fulfill that promise that we may receive it. And see how lavishly he fulfills his promise. He takes, again, a mere 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I could practically eat that by myself. I'm telling on myself a little bit. But he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and transforms them into a feast so that 5,000 men plus women and children can eat their fill and still have 12 baskets full of leftovers. The promise of God's rest is open to all today. If the Son of Man could do this lavishly with 5 loaves and 2 fish, imagine what he can do with his flesh and blood that he has offered for you. Imagine what he can do with you, whom he has come to redeem. He has offered us the bread of eternal life. He has offered us eternal rest in the presence of the Father. And so the question is, won't you take advantage of that rest? Won't you claim that rest, that place at Jesus' table today? We encourage you to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, to turn away from a life of sin, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins, and to live faithfully, being compassionate as he had compassion. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?